Welcome to this time of refreshing. This is a radio message that was preached from the platform of Kingdom Word Ministries by Pastor Banky.
All right, let's begin this session by reading from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Two sessions ago, we began to speak about what I now called How to Work for God, which I said the full thing can be read in my book titled How to Work for God. And what we have been saying for some time, the purpose of life and the fruit of your life, they are all in the same context. We are trying to get into our hearts, trying to get our mentalities correct concerning how to walk in a manner pleasing to God. If you go and read that John chapter 6, which we read some time ago, that we read the last time and the time before that, they came to the Lord Jesus and said, "Master, we have been looking everywhere for you." And he said, "You are not spending all this energy because you have discovered that I am the Son of God. After you ate bread, you should have by that realized that something is going on here and the person that you are dealing with is not a normal person." He said, "But that's not what you are seeing. You are focusing on the bread and you are running after the bread." He said, "Therefore, don't labor for that food which will perish, even though you are looking for it from the hands of God. Labor for that which endures to eternal life." And I said to us that a lot of Christians, that's what we are doing. We are using God, following him because of what we are going to get out of him. And Jesus said, stop that right now. Start laboring for that which endures to eternal life. So they asked him, what must we do so that in doing it, we'll be doing the work that is pleasing to God? What must we do that in running up and down, it will be that we are doing that which God expects of us and that which is pleasing to him? And the Lord Jesus said, this is where the work of God starts. I'm paraphrasing this now. He said, the work of God starts in your heart, because he said, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he has sent. That is, it is the work of God to put in energy to decipher and discern that which he's doing in the midst of every situation. Now, when he said to them that, do not labor for that which perishes, but labor for that which endures to eternal life, what he was saying simply is that labor to gain understanding. Because you see, they ate bread. Notice that. They ate bread, but they did not discern where the bread came from. They were looking for the bread. And he said, labor for that which endures. He said, the work of God is that you believe in him who he has sent. What he was saying is, you ate bread. That should have helped you understand that the person who gave you the bread is the person who he sent. What am I saying? The work of God is to labor to gain understanding. That's what we are saying. We said the last time that you must labor to gain understanding. You must labor to know God better. And I want to continue from that point. That's why I said we should read from that book of Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Let's quickly read it. And I think I should title my message today, God Does Not Like Surprises. That would be a very nice subtitle to put into what we are talking about today. He said in verse 1, guard your steps as you go to the house of God and draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools, for they do not know they are doing evil. Please notice that Solomon was explaining that when you are approaching the temple of God to go and offer sacrifices, he said, be careful. Draw near to get instructions, because in the temple there are what you call teaching priests. They will have given you the instructions on what to do. That don't just barge in believing that since I'm giving this sacrifice, it is always acceptable to God. He said, once you are approaching the temple of God, the house of God, be careful. Be careful that you listen to instructions first. Because any other thing, if you give sacrifices without first listening to instructions, what you'll be doing is to offer the sacrifice, all right, of a fool. And I want to say to us again that a lot of Christians these days, that's what we are doing. We offer the sacrifices of fools. What do I mean? We get up and brag, not realizing that God is not a human being. You know, there's something that people say all the time. They say after Solomon gave God 1,000 burnt offerings, God was so excited he couldn't sit down again. He began to jump and say, Solomon, ask anything and I will do it for you. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? And then we say, therefore, let us all go and give God 1,000 burnt offerings. Because we want to excite God so that he will not be able to contain himself. He'll start promising blessings. Unfortunately, we take things on a spot without looking at what happened before then. Solomon had been trained with the word of God. Are you getting my point? Solomon was obeying the laws that he was given. God is never excited, let me tell you, about gifts. Never, ever is he excited about gifts. Only one thing excites God, and that is obedience. Only one thing excites God, which is another word for obedience, that is faith. He said, when Samuel was speaking to Saul, he said, to obey is better than to sacrifice. That is, with God, your sacrifice is not important as much as your obedience is important. And you can never obey until you have instructions. Remember what I said last time? It is the work of God to go and look for instruction. It is the work of God to labor to gain understanding. It is not the work of God to run around aimlessly and thinking that in your multitude of activities, God will be pleased. No, Solomon is teaching us here simply that God does not like surprises. If you enter into the temple, you must follow his order. Otherwise, he will not accept the sacrifice from your hands. Many times people testify about things that don't make sense. But to human beings, it makes sense. You know, a human being, you can give him something and everything that will quell the anger inside him. But with God, there's what he's looking for, repentance in your soul. Are you getting my point? That is why no matter how much you think you can work or give to God, if you are not a repentant person, forsaking your iniquities, your activities are not acceptable before him. Many of us take church as a place where we cleanse our conscience while we continue in our evil works. Let me declare to you once again, you are just wasting your time. If you are a thief, cutting a piece of it for God does not stop the fact that you are a thief, and the soul that sin it, it shall die. Are you getting my point? Even if you give part of the proceeds of stealing to God, the soul shall still die. God does not like surprises. If we are going to walk in a manner that is pleasing to him, actually I should have explained this first, even before last week's message. If we are going to walk in a manner that is pleasing to him, we must take time out to learn his order. We must take time out to learn his ways. One man by which I like to explain this, all right, is the story of his life, is a man, Uzzah. Let's just quickly read the story of Uzzah. I'll summarize it. Now, the story of Uzzah we can find in 2 Samuel chapter 6 and then in 1 Chronicles chapter 13. I will use the one in 1 Chronicles chapter 13, all right, to highlight, to read so that we can follow. Now, this is a story. There was a time, if you remember, when Eli was still priest in Israel. There was a time that his two sons died in one day when they went to battle. And the Philistines captured the Ark of God. Now, throughout the days of Saul, nobody bothered to look for it. But when David became the king, one of the first things he did was to try and recover the Ark and bring it back to Israel from where the Philistines had abandoned it. But what I want to bring out quickly is the procedure of bringing back the Ark, just to emphasize the fact that you cannot surprise God. He does not like surprises. Any surprise you plan for him is more likely to get you killed than to get you a blessing. Are you getting my point? Let me say it again. Any surprise you plan for God is more likely to get you killed than to get you a blessing. Let me say this categorically, because we're going to go on into that from this point. Any calling, any gift that God has not given to you, that you decide you want to train yourself in and exercise in what you think is the work for God that you are engaging in, is likely to destroy you. Let me say that in another way. Many times, you know, I've been saying this again and again. Because you see, what people do is that they think that to be a pastor, to be an evangelist, to go on missions, to be a missionary, is more pleasing to God than being an engineer. Are you getting my point? They think it's more pleasing to God than being a pilot. They think it's more pleasing to God than being a businessman. Let me say to you again, it is not true. It is not true. Many of us look at great men of God, general overseers, bishops, all right, archbishops, big names and big titles, and our soul unconsciously, all right, our souls think that these people are more in tune with God than the average man on the street. I want to tell you again, it is absolutely not true. Do you follow my point? Yes, we respect men for their offices. Those are offices that should be respected. You should respect a senior person in the church. You should respect even a ruler amongst the peoples. But please, before God, it does not mean the person is better than the average person. What I'm saying so is that it doesn't mean, therefore, that it is justified for you to abandon the place of your calling and then go to another place because you think you'll be more pleasing to God in that place. I said to you, any surprise you plan for God is more likely to get you killed than to get you a blessing. So when many people are trying to please God, especially when they think they have offended God in previous times, they want to become pastors, they want to become deacons, they want to become evangelists. There are so many people who are going around with the title evangelists, prophets, pastors, who absolutely have no calling I don't know you. Nobody reported it to me. I'm not judging you. I just want you to judge yourself. Get it out of your mind that this your new vocation is more pleasing to God than the former one. If it is not your calling, it is likely to get you killed rather than to get you a blessing. Why? God does not like surprises. Any gift he does not put inside you, he does not want it from out of you. You hear what I said? If he didn't put it inside you, don't try and bring it out for him. It is not there. Like he said to those people in that Luke chapter 19, which we have read again and again, he said, occupy with this until I come. What I like in that expression, especially as it occurs in the New American Standard Bible, is that he said, occupy with this until I come. Why do I like that? Because of that word, with this. That is, don't just do business. He said, do business. That's what he said there. With this until I come. I'm not telling you to go and borrow to do business. I have given you something. Do business with this until I come. And when they were going to report to the master, go and read that Luke chapter 19 again. The first one came and said, your mina has made 10 more. Another one came and said, your mina has made 5 more. They came to report what the gift that God gave to them did, not the one they borrowed. God judged them with bearing in mind what he gave to them. That is, when you get to heaven, the day of judgment, God is not going to say, listen, how many people did you pastor if he did not make you a pastor? He will not tell you how many radio broadcasts did you operate if he didn't call you a preacher. Are you getting my point? If he said you are a mother, you are going to raise children, what he will do that last day, he will ask you, how well did you raise those children? Do you get what I'm saying? Were you so busy trying to ensure you didn't have any so that you can make money and enjoy your life? How well did you raise the children that I sent to you? Did you send all of them off to boarding house so that you can be free? How well did you raise those children that I sent to you? Say, Lord, I went around preaching the gospel. In the process, over 500,000 people gave their life to Christ. God said, I know, but I'm asking you. I said to you, occupy with this until I come. Do business with this until I come. So I'm asking you concerning the this I put inside you. As for the ministry you did, if I don't put you into a ministry, that's with the preaching of the word, then forget it. I'm not saying a bad thing. No. Just won't judge you accordingly. So therefore, it will have been for you a waste of time. God is not a human being. He's not stupid at all. He never demands out of you what he did not first place inside there. That's just the way he behaves. That's the way he is. Listen, so Samuel said to Saul, to obey is better than to sacrifice. We tend to look at what is going on outside. What God judges as spiritual qualities, for example, faithfulness is what he's judging. He said, thy mina has made 10 more. That is, it's not my effort that made 10 more. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is what God gave me when I was faithful and was diligent in applying it. It produced. So God, you see, we think that God is judging the amount of messages I preached. If God did not put the preach inside you, he doesn't judge how many times you used it. He judges you according to what he placed inside you. That's just the way it is. So we're talking about how to work for God. This is what we do. First, I said, we cooperate with him in learning his ways. He does not like surprises. In the process of learning his ways, we know how to work with him. Are you getting my point? We discover how to operate the gift he placed inside us. And we are judged according to how much we're faithful. He said, well done, good and faithful servant. Not good and innovative servant. Do you get my point? Faithfulness means you have a set of rules and you follow them. That's what it means to be faithful. Faithfulness means that you were told what to do and you were careful to do that you were told. Now let's read this story, all right? And it will emphasize or illustrate the thing I'm saying very, very clearly. You know, what happened was David now said, let's go and bring the ark. And notice something. I'll just read it. Let us start from verse 4. Then all the assembly said that they will do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of the people. So David assembled all Israel together, from Shihor of Egypt, even to the entrance of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kiriath Jearim. Now, because of time, please, I'm just going to rush and jump a few verses. In verse 7 says, and they carried the ark of God on a new cart from the house of Abinadab, and two men, Uzzah and Ahio, drove the cart. And David and all Israel were celebrating before God with all their might, even with songs and lyres, harps, tambourines, cymbals, and with trumpets. What is the emphasis here? They were joyful. They were joyful. They were rejoicing in the presence of the Lord. They were very happy. Everybody would have thought that this is a good thing. The Holy Spirit is present. They are playing drums. They are in the presence of the ark of God. But something happened. Verse 9. And when they came to the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put out his hand to hold the ark. He wanted to help God. Why? Because the oxen nearly upset it. Like some Bibles say, the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah. So he struck him, not the devil, but God. God struck him down because he put out his hand to the ark. And he died there before God. Now, this was very surprising to David. You see verse 11. David was very, very shocked. And because he did not understand the character of God, he was very angry. That, come on. Now, these are the things we don't understand. David said, this man is trying to help you. The ark was going to fall. Why did you kill him? I mean, everybody would have thought that if you stretch forth your hand to touch the ark, you should have gotten healed rather than gotten killed. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Yes, you should have gotten healed. But what happened? The previously healthy man got killed. Listen, I am not lying to you. There are times I have seen people, and I see what they are supposedly doing for God, and I shake my head. Because I've read stories, I've read lessons from the likes of Kenneth Hagin and Robert Sliadon and many other people, and I know certain things people do for God are more likely to get them killed rather than to get them blessed. And that's what happened here. They are agitating to support God. But God said, listen, I gave a set of rules and regulations. You guys started, one, by putting the ark, and I'm summarizing everything now. This was what went wrong. You guys started by putting the ark on the cart. Very wrong. The ark was meant to be carried on the shoulders of priests that would suspend it on those shoulders by poles. You have not done that. Then I said, nobody should touch the ark. I never said the ark should never fall. There's a difference. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? The commandment was specific. Nobody should touch it. You said it wanted to fall. You went and touched it. In that process, you broke the rules of God. No wonder Solomon said, guard your steps. You know, if you want to sleep at night, you guard your house. You lock your doors. You are careful because you don't want thieves to break in at night. Are you getting my point? You guard your steps when you are driving. You are careful you don't want to run into a trailer and die. In the same manner, he said, when you are approaching the temple of God, guard your steps. Watch it carefully. He said, draw near to listen. Come and listen to instructions on how to serve God. Listen, my observation these days, this is my own rough estimate. 88% of the service I see outwardly that people are doing for God are being done in ignorance, and I'm more likely to get them killed than to get them blessed. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Why? Because the people did not take time out to learn. You know, that's what we've been talking about. I told you that my message today should actually be titled, God Does Not Like Surprises. And that's what I'm emphasizing. He doesn't like surprises. What do I mean? He said to obey is better than to sacrifice. That is, you must first get instructions. If you read further, we're not going to read it. Later on, when they were going to correct this, David himself said it, that the first time we tried to do this, we did not do it properly. We did not do it according to due order. Are you getting my point? Listen, there's a due order for everything. We've been saying along the line that he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. We said he did not die for pastors. He did not say he died for apostles. He did not say he died for preachers. That is, when I said that there is an order for everything, I mean there is an order for every aspect of life. I wrote a book, Should I Say Yes? It's a book on marriage. In it, I try to get people to understand something. That God has a set of instructions concerning how you are supposed to talk to your husband, if you're a woman. He has a set of instructions concerning how you are supposed to love your wife as a man. These things are not arbitrary. Are you getting my point? Many of the things you see in movies that look so nice and romantic, let me tell you, the reason why your rat dies when you give it poison is because the poison is sweet. When the devil wants to kill you, the poison he uses is usually sweet also. Do you get the point I'm making? And listen, and it was said that rats, if you use a particular poison to kill a rat, And they kill the next one, kill the third one. After a while, the other rat won't eat that poison again. Why? They've seen that even though it is too sweet, it is killing us. What am I trying to say? Observe the Hollywood people you are following. No matter how sweet their romance is, it is killing their marriages. You need to be foolish to still be following them. I said, he died for all. That those who live should no longer live for themselves. There's God's order concerning how you do your business because it's part of working for God. There's something I've been saying again and again, and I will yet say it again and again until everybody believes it. It is not the pastor alone that is serving God. If you're a secondary school teacher, your service of God is in teaching in that secondary school. And it has a set of rules and regulations which you can learn if you are careful to pay attention. And that way you will be working for God. What I'm trying to debunk is the situation in which people think, and I hear pastors preach it, as if you are busy out there working for a boss that's not even a believer, and you don't have enough time for God. Listen, that work is time for God. Are you getting my point? Don't make it look like it is not. What makes the difference between me and the unbeliever? What makes it actually the service of God is, am I doing it the way he said I should do it? If I'm doing it the way he said it, there's work I'm doing for God. What God is looking for is obedience. Every job he gives you in life is an opportunity to demonstrate the obedience that's inside your soul. It's not just to make money. Every relationship you have in life is an opportunity to demonstrate the obedience, the fear of God that's resident in your soul. That's what it is. And it's also the opportunity for you to demonstrate the evil that still resides inside you so that when you discover it, you will confess it and God will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. So you see, just like it's important you go to church and go and hear the word of God, it is important that you also go out and meet people. Let them rob you in wrong places. Let's see what is still left inside you. You know, I've observed something. The word of God works, amen? If you learn the word of God, you are setting yourself up for blessing. In fact, that word is blessed. As it's entering into you, it's pouring blessings into you. But do you know what I have noticed? After observing life critically, no matter how loaded you are with this word, no matter how loaded you are with the power of God ready to explode in blessing, listen, if wrong things still abide inside you, that blessing will never manifest. Yeah, that's a matter of fact. Now, I said the word of God is very powerful. That's what I was saying. No matter how much you load yourself with it, if you don't allow that word first produce cleansing in your soul, it will never be able to produce his blessing outwardly. The first thing God's blessings do for you is to correct you. When God blesses you, the first manifestation of that blessing is correction. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm bringing an issue here. That God doesn't like surprises. And how you know you are working for God, you know, we've been emphasizing that working for God is in every area of life. The area where you are really working for him is where you are using his word to correct yourself into working according to his prescribed order. That is, why did God kill Uzzah? In summary, you guys may have been carrying an ark, but you were not working for me. That's what God was saying. Why did I kill Uzzah? Because all that dancing and singing, I didn't come along. I was watching it from a distance. Why did God kill Uzzah? Because though they said they wanted to carry the ark for God, they did not guard their steps when they were approaching the presence of the ark. Are you getting my point? They did not draw near to listen. They decided to start with the sacrifices of fools. So God said they were not working for me, they were working for my enemies. Do you get the point I'm making? That is, if I am a pastor, if I am not pastoring, listen to this, with the right motives, I'm not working for God. If I'm not pastoring with the right procedure, I am not working for God. If I'm using the word of God to manipulate people, God said, no matter how big the church I built is, it is a synagogue of Satan. Now, what I'm trying to bring out here, that is, what decides whether I'm working for God? Is my business a work for God? It's not whether I go to church or not. It's whether I'm running it according to prescribed order. Are you getting my point? If I use, you see, there are things, be careful when God uses some words. There are words you see in the Bible that are very strong. You see words like love is a very strong word. Very strong word. For example, say God loves a cheerful giver. It's a very strong word. And if I were you, I would go and learn what is it that makes a man a cheerful giver? You should ask yourself, what makes somebody a cheerful giver? Because God loves a cheerful giver. Go and read my tracts. You can download it from our website, Cheerful Giver. There is something that makes you a cheerful giver. Most Christians these days are cheerful investors. They are not cheerful givers. God doesn't love them. They are cheerful releasing for something they will get later. That's not cheerful giving. That is cheerful bribing. That's cheerful investing. That's cheerful round tripping. That's not cheerful giving. What makes somebody a cheerful giver? You should go and learn it. Faith is the primary thing, but I'm not discussing that now. I'm not going to explain the word that when the Bible says God loves something, it's a very strong word. There's another word that's very strong. It says God hates. For example, the Bible says God hates the heart that devises evil. Are you getting my point? You see another strong word like a curse. It's a very strong word in the Bible. It said the curse of the Lord is in the house of the thief. It's a very strong word. If you're a thief, if I were you, I would stop. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Now, why I'm bringing up this issue is that he said that differing weights and differing measures, both of them are abominable to the Lord. That's Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10. If you're a businessman, you're a seller of something, you must ensure that you don't dabble into that thing that God hates. Because a differing weight and a differing measure, both of them, he said, they are abominable. Do you understand? That's a very strong word. God hates it. They are abominable to the Lord, which means anywhere he finds it. Listen, when God loves something, he pours a blessing in that place. For God so loved the world, and the manifestation is that he did what? He gave. Are you getting what I'm saying? God said, if I hate something, you know what I do? I take it away. For example, he said, anybody, all right, who oppresses a widow or a fatherless person, I take the life of such a person. It takes away. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? When he loves, what does he do? He gives. When he hates, what does he do? He extracts that which is already present there. Listen, if you're a business person and you are cheating people, you are dabbling in hatred of the Lord. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what you are doing. It is not whether I give an offering or not that makes my business a Christian business. Or whether I'm working for God. It is the process, the procedure with which I'm running it. Am I running it honestly? Or am I running it just to make money and cheat people and then I say, this is business. I said to us, anybody who settles down to devise evil, God will judge him so badly. That is, you did armed robbery, you are tired. Then you devise kidnapping. The curse of the Lord is in your house. If you build a house, it will collapse. Are you getting my point? May the 10 unfortunate tenants travel during that period. That's just the way it is.
You have just listened to a radio message by Pastor Banky. More of this and other messages are available from our website, kwm.com.ng or pastorbanky.org. To contact us, especially to let us know how much this has been a blessing to you, please write us at radiosermons@gmail.com or pastor@kwm.com.ng. Do not forget to do your part in spreading the kingdom of God by sharing this message with someone else. Thank you for listening, and may the fruit of this word blossom in your life.